Blog Talk Radio.
For as nothing you or I have done that basically separate ourselves from His grace and His mercy, He still loves us. I'm sure we all probably done some things to where God could pick up and say, you know what? I ain't gonna love them anymore. They done this, he done that. And he could have walked away, but in spite of what we have done, what we've come through, what we experienced, His love has always been there. For that, I'm grateful. And who am I? Yeah, Mark Elliott. I tend to be the host of the show. We get together once a week and have conversations, and we put it all together. We call it When Black Men Talk. Myself, Mr. DeMaurice, Mr. Charles, we've been doing this for quite some time. And usually when we do it, I go to those gentlemen towards the end and find out what they might be thinking about, what they may want to kind of bring to the forefront. And I said last week that we're going to do things a little different. You know, I'm not even going to kind of bring a topic to the show. We're going to basically give them a chance to kind of move the needle. You know, move the button, press the button. So basically, our conversation will hold this particular episode. Mr. DeMaurice, I know in the Northeast, man, it's rainy, it's wet. And it's good weather here for me as far as I'm concerned, man. As long as it's not snow, it's not super cold, I'll take it. How's it in Illinois, my brother?
I know in Chicago it's about 37 degrees, man. They have a freeze warning tonight. So it's, April 23rd? it's like in Chicago, you get like 30 to 60 days of summer. That's it. That's all you get. That's all you get. Because you get cheated out of the summer here. Because, you get a few days where you got to get out and enjoy it. And that's going to be part of my topics when we get the show going.
Okay,
how people
cool,
act,
man, cool.
When the weather gets good, yeah.
It's you know, don't get me wrong, Northeast, we ain't the kings and queens when it comes to good weather. I'll say that, but April 37 freeze? My goodness, man.
Yeah, freeze warning.
That's the weather right there. Mr. Charles, man, not saying you're a weather man, I'm meteorologist. You know, how the weather looking in Ohio, bro?
Up and down, bro. It's a little chilly right now. We're in Chicago. Lord knows. Thank God for that. I don't know. On that lake, bro. I don't know how you do it, DeMaurice. I promise you. I'm cold, but man, that lake, Chicago, and all over Michigan. But no, it's up and down. We probably like in our 40s. I think we might hit 50 today. But prior to that, it's been okay because we got close to 80, bro. And that's like a heat wave in April. Bruh, Ohio, we are clapping and excited and having high fives and ready to barbecue and everything. But reality crept in, so that's where we're at.
You know, modern technology is something else, man. We think about it. And a lot of times now, I think we take modern technology for granted because things happen so quickly. And we're afforded to take advantage of things that are to us in the technology sense. You think about our parents, man, you know, back in the day, if they was to be able to speak to each other, if one was out of town, lived distance, you had to basically go to a phone and pay per minute or whatever the case may be to talk. And here we are for the most part in three different parts of the country where we get together, you know, once a week, have conversations, man, like there's nothing to it, man. And others get the chance to basically come into and hear what we're speaking of. Oh, man, that's just when you think about it, man. Even, you know, I go back to when I was a child, you think about would this have been possible? It's like, I want to thank you, too, for, you know, being here. I want to thank all those that are tuning in and giving us an ear. I appreciate it, man. Sometimes I look at the locations of the past podcasts where people are listening from, and it still blows my mind. And it just blows my mind from different countries, different cities throughout the U.S. that they're finding and they're listening. I'm thankful. I appreciate it. Y'all do me a favor and do us all a favor. I said us three. Hey, sure. Let other folks know that these cats get together and have very good conversations and they're thoughtful. And I want to thank other people out there as well that are doing something on the lines of that there's many video casts, podcasts out there where our people are getting out there sharing some great information. And I want to say thanks to you all, too, because information and knowledge is key, and we can never have enough. So I'm happy to see that folks are basically saying, you know something, I know this, I want to share it, I want to put it out there for others to benefit from, and we need more of that. As I was saying earlier, we're going to do something a little different with this particular episode. We're going to open it up. Open up the doors, as they would say at a church, open up the doors and see what happens. We're going to put Mr. DeMaurice where they're going to basically push the buttons and based on the foundation what we're going to speak about in this particular episode. So I'm going to come to you first, Mr. Charles, and something that we should be talking about here on Black Men Talk. If you have something ready to roll with us, sir, we're all ready to roll.
Man, you said the church. I'm a little nervous about what I want to talk about now. You said the church. I'm like, how many times I get to speak at the church? This is what I want to bring up. I'm like, I have to ask for forgiveness early. When you said the doors of the church are open, I was like, oh my God, I can't talk about this. Anyway, I figured I wanted to break it down into questions if possible. I don't know. So anyway, that's okay. I just have a question. I think I want to start out with a question. So one of my favorite subjects is actually women. So question is, you know, we are all, I guess, somewhat elbow, I don't want to talk your status, whatever. We're single men by the law, according to the law, okay? So my question is, at this point in your life, if you chose to do so, because DeMaurice get all the technical stuff, so if you chose to do so, do you know of some place or a place where you think okay, yeah, we going, baby. Where you think you could, if you wanted to meet women that, you know, quality women or women that you thought you would be interested in, are there some places that you think you could go, that you know where you could go to meet them? And the other part of it is, do you feel like you would need to be in the places to meet these type of women? That's my question. Two part.
I don't think there's a place. I don't think there's a special place that you'd have to be. I think in reality, I think our energy, who we are, sometimes attracts what we attract. And I think sometimes our energy is not in the right place. And I know it may sound simple to say, but I think what we have to do as men, and I've heard Mr. DeMaurice kind of said this maybe a different way. We have to realize maybe sometimes what we were attracted to didn't work out well for us. And I think sometimes with men, we go more into visual attraction more so than the mental attraction. And I think there's some good mental attraction women out there. But sometimes, man, they may not look that appealing. They just may not. They may not be the but they're there and they get overlooked. And I know in my lifetime, I've experienced that with in dating in general. You know, you may have come across someone that may not have been that super eye-pleasing, but the rest of the qualities were there. So I think sometimes it's based on, you know, how we're basically, that energy we're sitting around and we're projecting, meaning that we're looking for the visual and hope the rest fits, I think that plays a part. So I don't think it's a place, because I think no matter where you go, you're going to find the same thing. It may be shaped different, but a lot of the mentalities, man, of women are the same, bro. There's some, to me, that have basically done the work on themselves. They're better suited to be with you. And there's some are just childish women, point blank, seriously simple childish women. They're selfish. They think about themselves. They haven't let go of their past. They're hanging on to it. They're carrying it. You know, they've been raised up wrong by mommy and auntie, and they're still trying to live what mommy and auntie, they haven't taken the time to figure that out. So to me, that's no matter where the face of this earth you travel to, you're going to come across that. Mr. DeMaurice.
Well, I don't think there are any physical spaces anymore, but there are, you know, because church, no, because you may see some beautiful mansions in church, but you step through that threshold, oh, my God, you know, because they're coming there with demons and issues, too. So, you know, you don't want to get sideswiped with that. Supermarket, nah. I mean, you know, the usual suspects where you meet women. I think that if you have an interest, say you have an interest in cycling, or you have an interest in fitness, or you have an interest in certain things that you socialize in, you're going to do. I think you can meet people through that who have the same interest. But I think you're right. It's like nowadays you just really don't know. I know, on my journey, what I look for has changed a lot based on past relationships. So I'm usually kind of cautious. Usually it's more so through a conversation where I can just tell whether things can go a little bit further or things will not go go at all. So it's really hard, especially you become wiser to what's going on, and you begin to take the pulse of women and what they're asking, what they want, what their alternative motives are. It's really kind of hard. I tend to notice that I still am a visual person, still visual. I try to keep in shape to attract, folks who are women who are visual. And I don't subscribe to that dad bod kind of syndrome that women are on now. But it does change. It has its ebbs and flows of what women really want, I'll give you an example. Some people like to rock beards or mustaches, things of that sort. And I know for years I've been doing that, but every now and then I'll just shave it off. It's not about what they want. It's about how I feel and how I want to present myself. And so I'm noticing that women are doing that now with I said I was going to get this hat, and I think I'm going to get three of them. My cousin showed me this hat that said "Make Booties Real Again." It seems like women are so fake now. You could see right through it. It's like you know that doesn't appeal to you. When you have a woman with a big old booty and the legs don't match the booty, it's like something's wrong. And so I guess we've gotten to an age. I know I've gotten to that point where I do care. I care about my appearance, but it's not like I'm really doing it for somebody else. I'm doing it for my own health. And if I attract somebody, and at the age that I am, and what I'm doing, and how I'm socializing, and where I am, that's cool. And if it's not, maybe I'm not your cup of tea. But it's not really for me going to places to see where I can find something. You usually don't find good things when you're kind of searching for them. Sometimes they just have to, just present themselves, and you go, okay, this is something I might want to pursue. So I really can't name a place anymore where back in the day you would actually go to places like clubs and, places where there's going to be a bunch of women, and the percentages of you getting one of them is really high.
Yeah. Good question, Mr. Charles. Where I want to come back to everyone and say this. Interesting. One thing I wanted to point out real quick is because no matter where we are, I was speaking earlier about our different locations, no matter where you are or what you're doing in life, as a man, whatever you're experiencing, multiply it by thousands, because other men are experiencing the same thing. And that's kind of uniqueness, but that's kind of a thing about it. Sometimes we're experiencing things in life, we're thinking, okay, it's just us. Then you start to have conversations, you realize, no, you're not in that boat alone. But your response, Mr. Charles.
Yeah, I don't know if I think that there's primarily certain locations that you go, like we normally would think, church, grocery store, stuff like that. But I will say this, and I experienced this like recently, like yesterday. Anyway, so business seminars, health fairs, that might seem bizarre, community events. For those, depending on what you're looking for, historically black college alumni function. Anyway, so I'm trying to tell you, because, bro, I'll say this. D. Maurice, and you know I'm not talking to you, but I am, and I'm talking to myself as well. Mark is a totally different case, but I'm speaking to you, D. Maurice, along with myself specifically. You had to get out the house, bro. You had to get out the house. I know I'm not saying I stay in the house all the time, but I usually go out and handle business. I'm not really – I haven't done a lot of social gathering or and functions because I've been busy on doing a lot of things. But you had to get out the house. You got to be open. You just got to be violent for a couple of things, and you will be greatly rewarded. That's all I'm going to say. Your options will change dramatically, and you don't have to do a lot. The whole potential or the class of individuals that you could possibly meet, same like-minded individuals can open up. And I was like, damn, I need to go to find one of these seminars once a week. Anyway, but my God. Right. And I'm going to break it down. If we get the last minute section, I'll break the whole thing down because it was one beautiful day yesterday. That's all I'm about.
No wonder you're so quiet during the fight. And no wonder you're so quiet. I'm wondering.
Dude, hey, man, I was trying to recover, bro. I was trying to – I walked in the fight, but then I was like – damn, it was a hell of a day. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. My God.
You know, what's interesting is that you two both mentioned church or was it a potential place in the past, whatever. And that was like the quick, it's funny how that was a thought process maybe years ago. We realized, that's not it because as far as I'm concerned, man, there's a lot of confused women in church, bro. You know, we keep it real on the show. It was just dropping. I think that's one of the reasons I hear you say that not as a place anymore, because there's a lot of confused women up in the church. For many reasons, they're confused. And they don't even understand it. They don't see it. But that is the reality. And you would think that would be a place that you would find a partner, honestly speaking. But based on, in my impression, in my opinion, there goes the reason why it's not. Your question, Mr. DeMaurice.
Yeah, one of my questions is, we just have a new mayor that was elected, Brother Brandon Johnson, and we had an incident last week that made national news. You know, the weather got a little hot. Matter of fact, just like Mr. Charles was saying earlier, it got in the 80s. We got that weather, too, for a day or two, and, you know, there were some young people downtown. And they were just, you know, kicking up dust, and it was a big old mess downtown with the crime rate and kids just running rampant, jumping on cars and attacking each other. I think three people were shot during that time. This week was much more calmer. But if you were an advisor to the mayor dealing with the youth of Chicago, and it just seems like as soon as the summer comes out, not only the youth. But I'm going to stick with the youth right now. But when the youth get to downtown Chicago, it's almost like they're just trying to tear it up. If you're an advisor to the mayor at this particular point, how would you tell him to handle this? Or how would you go about handling it?
I'm going to say something that's probably not practical. Or say some things that's not practical. And it's definitely going to be unorthodox, but I'm going to say this. I remember years ago when I used to hear stuff like this happening, and especially when I heard males doing stuff like this, younger males, like, where's their father? Where's their father? And I say that because if my son or daughter was acting foul somewhere, I'm going down there to kick their ass. I couldn't hear about my kid somewhere, like you said, jumping on a car, acting stupid. Now, I would assume in most cases, these kids are under 18. I would assume that's the case. A lot of times these kids, because they realize the system can't do much to them, they're juvenile, they're smart, they're wise in that sense. Here's the thing. When you're under 18, you're still a responsibility of your parent, legally. So you arrest the child, he's 16, charge him and the parent. the jail, put, bring the parent, put the parent in a jail cell with the child. Because see what happens when these kids act a fool, in my opinion. I don't care. The parents sitting back home and they chilling. But when your ass start getting in a jail cell with your child, at some point you can tell your kids stop acting stupid. Or before they start acting stupid, you're going to raise them not to act stupid. But the parents are being left off. They're raising these kids without morals, without respect, without dignity, without who to know who the hell they are. And they feel they can go do anything and nothing's going to be done to them. So at some point, we got to start, in my opinion, we got to start looking at the parent. Because this kid didn't get brought here by a fucking bird or one of those things and dropped off. No. Two people got together and made these kids. They got together. Where are their responsibilities? That's it for me. That's it. Here again, unorthodox. But I'm tired of seeing these young kids out here and act like they ain't got no parents. They damn sure ain't got no homeschool training. So how find a way to make their parents responsible? It's just like it was recently a story where a kid, 6 years old, brought a weapon to school and shot his teacher. Six. White kid. They tried their best not to charge their mother. Guess what? She got charged. Ain't no way in the world. If you got a gun in your house, a six-year-old should be able to bring it from your house to school, and you're not responsible. Start making the parents more responsible. If you arrest that kid, bring the parent to jail, too. One of them, mom, dad, one of them. Fill up the jail cell with the parents. See what happens. Mr. Charles.
Yeah, that's always difficult because kids are there's something else, and we've changed it from a different – we live in a different age than when we were coming up. Still no excuse. One of the things I would say, I'm not sure if they have the time or the resources to do it, but I think that part of it is when you mentioned – first of all, you said downtown. Is that correct, DeMaurice?
Yeah.
Okay. So, one, I would have – I think part of everything else – I ain't saying you got to – it's going to work automatically, but I think you almost have to have a presence too. And what I mean by that, by law enforcement, and I know people not feeling the police or the cops or whatever, or the police, as we say, where we're from, but I think you sometimes you just have a presence. It doesn't have to be about somebody walking around with guns and all strapped up and looking like about to kill somebody, nothing like that. But I think when you have a presence so they can be seen in certain these areas, then oftentimes, or some kids or some people may not be open to do stupid things. And it doesn't have to be a large presence, but a presence there. The other part, too, is finding other things. Because if it's late at night, then we know how that goes. But, you know, I mean, I'm to a point, and I know they don't want to hear this, but maybe it may not work. But I'm old school, too. When Mark mentioned about the point of bringing the parents involved, man, I like you. I'm going to keep 100 with you. I think it's time to start the last refuse, bro. For real. I'm just saying, man. You may not think, oh, you can't do nothing with that. I think you can if you do it the correct way. And I'm not saying they got to be in the house by 9 o'clock.
Hey, Mr. Charles, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you kind of broke up when you said that. Say that again just for someone that may not have heard it. Go back and make that point again because when you said it, it got a little choppy. Sorry to interrupt. We repeat that.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Oh, no, you could. No, you're good. No, I was just saying that part of it, I think, is I mentioned, first of all, about having a police presence downtown so they can be seen in the area, maybe curtail some things there, too. The other thing I was going to say real quickly is the fact that I think it's important to maybe instill a curfew, okay? Not sure how long at what time that needs to be. Again, if you have a curfew, particularly for younger people, right, kids or teenagers, it comes back to the point that Mark made about making the parents accountable. So if your kid's out here wild and they keep getting arrested or they keep caught up because they're breaking curfew, again, it falls back on the parents. And I think that's a great point made. But we got to also assist in making sure that we cover the bases from their perspective.
Say this real quick before I come back to you, Mr. DeMaurice. What people may not realize is when you start messing with the money, Chicago is a big tourist town, bro.
Uh-huh.
Huge. When you start messing with the money where people start to say, I don't want to come to Chicago, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. So, and then when you see these kids getting in harm and being harmed way and get harmed, we're going to start, they want to cry. But there's no town in America that's going to allow you to play with their money. And I know Chicago's not going to allow that to happen. And that's what these folks ain't thinking about. Even in business, when you start to play with the money, you got to go. Your response, sir.
Yeah, there's a few things that you two said that I agree with. I do think they do have a curfew. I remember when I was coming up, and I'm starting to sound like, you know, some of the old dudes when we were growing up. Sound. I was coming up, there used to be a TV on commercials, like it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? And so it was a reminder, it's probably a curfew. I don't know if curfews kind of work with police brutality and harassment at this particular point. You kind of opening that up. But it got to come down to the parent responsibility. Because I remember this to this day. My dad told me one time, he's like, listen, and I used to be out there a lot because I used to be over at Mark's house. I'd be over there at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning walking home, whatever. And my dad told me, he said, you know what? He said, if you're out there doing something you ain't supposed to be doing with your boys and all that other stuff, he said, you get locked up, don't call me. Don't call me. You know, you're going to have to take that hit because you know better. You know better to be in something that, you know, is illegal and all that stuff. He said, but if I get that call and you say, hey, they locked me up and this is why they locked me up, I'm coming down to get you. But if you're doing something real stupid, don't call me. Save the dime, bro. I'm not coming to get you. You know, save that call for somebody else who will come get you because I'm not going to come get you. And it does come down to parent responsibility. It's like, how do you have your kids out here like that? I mean, really, how do you have them out there? And I do agree. I mean, it's drastic. Yeah. You talk about, you know, money talk. Hit the parents in the pocket. Bring them down to the jail cell. I love that story you told about your daughter where I guess she did something. You said this on a show like years ago. And you were talking to the cop. The cop called you and said, hey, we got your daughter. You can come pick her up every time. He said, you know, what if I don't pick her up right now? He said, we'll just keep her in the jail cell. He said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And the cop started laughing. I didn't even tell me that story. I love that story. I love that story. Why bail them out? If they're doing something they're not supposed to do, they got to learn a lesson. We've got so many parents that want to take ownership of their kids' problems that these kids don't grow up and they become adults that don't grow up. And adults that have no accountability, you know, no kind of values and beliefs that, hey, I shouldn't be out here doing this. I shouldn't be destroying public property. I shouldn't be doing any of this stuff because, you know, this can come back on me. They think that it won't come back on them. And that's, I think, the primary reason, or they just don't care. Or and a big problem in Chicago is no economic development in the poorer communities. So where do you think these folks are going to go? And not excusing them for doing this, but it comes down to parent responsibility. We can't leave it up to society to raise the kids. We can't leave it up to society to police our kids. We know that they're going to be policed different than kids of a wider hue. So we got to step up. And if it takes arresting the parents or putting some heavy, lengthy fines, if you don't pay these fines, you're going to jail with your child or spending some jail time with your child. And I know the jails are kind of getting filled now, but this problem got to stop because just like you said, when you mess with tourist money, it's only 3 months in the summer, and Chicago's a big tourist area. You're going downtown messing with their money, it's going to get real ugly. And I don't want to see a mama on TV with a child out there wilding out, child get hurt, saying, you know, my baby ain't never done nothing to nobody. I don't want to hear that story. Where were you before this happened? Where was your curfew? Because I know I had at times I would have a curfew. Don, you got to be in at this particular time. There were often times where my parents knew where I was at a friend's house or I was hanging out somewhere where, you know, there wasn't any trouble. Sometimes I was hanging somewhere where there was trouble. But you know when you start getting your spidey senses together, you're like, wait a minute, I don't think I need to be here right now. I got to go. And I didn't care what my friends thought at the time. Like, listen, I know if I stay here, I didn't want to embarrass my grandmother. I didn't want to embarrass my mom and dad or my family doing something crazy. I even think of that now. I was like, man, if I get caught doing this, what's my family going to say? What's Don doing such and such and such and such and such and such? So it was just kind of, I remember seeing, I don't know if you ever had this moment, Mark, and we're cousins, we grew up with the same grandmother. I would never want to disappoint that woman because the look she would give you when you disappointed her, it wasn't like a chastisement or a word that she said. She would put her hands across her belly, fold them across her belly, and just look at you. And that's a look I could not take, bruh. I could not take a look of disappointment with that woman. I could not take it. It was like more than a beating. And she would sit there, and I still hear her voice now. When I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing, she'll say, Donnie, I know you know better than that. I couldn't take it, bro. That was worse than a beating. And so for me, I know as a kid, I knew that I didn't want to embarrass my parents because I didn't want somebody to say, your child did this, and you knew that they didn't teach you that and that you knew better. You couldn't, and I didn't want that look of disappointment because it was worse than a beating, and I didn't want them to think of me a certain way because of my actions. I don't know whether or not these kids get that, but it needs to be reinstated in our communities, especially in the Black communities, that it's not just a whooping or punishment. It's you have disappointed me. And that is kind of like the punishment. You have just threw away my trust in you. That is the punishment. Sometimes instead of a beating or a whooping, that I raised you differently, I raised you to be this, and you're turning into the exact opposite. Where's the disappointment in the youth to say, you know what, I don't want to shame my parents in doing this because I'm a representation of them. I don't see that in our communities, in our homes anymore, and it needs to be reinstated in that.
Their parents are foul, so therefore they're foul, bro. It is what it is. A lot of these kids come from foul parents. And half the time, they're out there raising hell. Their parents don't raise hell, so they're used to seeing it. So it is what it is in that sense to me. But you're right about that disappointing your parent. I'm going to tell you something, man. My father, I don't think my father physically disciplined me, I don't think, more than one time in his life. More than one time.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
My father could look at me, and I was straighten up. Look. And I'm going to tell you, I thought this as a child, I may not have been able to withstand a beating from my father. I'm like, this man put hands on me, I may not make it. So that was enough in my mind. I'm not going to that point. I'm not getting there to where he has to do such. But again, I think here again, I said it earlier, it's unorthodox. But Black parents got to be starting to be accountable for our kids. Yes, I said Black parents. I don't want to hear about white kids. I don't want to hear about them, about us, because our ancestors fought too hard to have us in this world. We could do the things that we do on a natural damn day to have our kids run a fucking muck and acting like they ain't got no fucking home training. I'm sick and tired of it. Tired. And Black fathers, you're accountable. Say it like it is. I don't give a fuck who don't like it. You're accountable. You have these seeds running around. You somewhere acting stupid. Get your child, get your seed, raise your seed, handle your seed. Because there ain't no man out here to be able to handle your seed other than you. No man, no cop, no one else. Handle your motherfucking seed. All this fucking gangbanging and dumb shit. Mr. Charles, you're... Oh, my goodness, man. Sorry about that, Mr. Charles. Oh, Mr. Charles, your question, sir.
Damn. I mean, did you drop the mic? You on me on the show? Tell me. I know you was mad. Tell me,
bro,
what you were doing.
They
ain't throwing the wires out the apparatus. I was like, where'd he go?
I was like, damn. I know he didn't cut his cousin off. He cut me
off. I had enough of this.
Damn, Mr. Charles, bang. I said, okay, all right. I get it. Yeah, yeah. Let me get back on my thought. I want to say real quick on that point, though. I'm thankful that that you guys did not have hands put on y'all. It took me a little long to understand that. Cause my dad, I wasn't so lucky. My dad, he had me, I guess, get me settled and let me understand what he was talking about and gave me the look later on. But hell, I'm glad y'all got one or two little taps. Shit. Anyway, my dad was like, you will feel me, understand me, and then you will see the message. Okay, I got it.
I used to get the thump. I don't know if y'all familiar with the thump, but, you know, it's like the flick of the finger and the thumb, and right upside the corner of your head.
Hey, that thump sound good. But my dad had this philosophy where he would let you do things, and he called what he called, he let it build up. So you might do something, he look at you and you get nervous and flinch, and then he's like, no, I'm just letting it build up. And so you know when it finally unfolds, he was putting the wrath of kind on your ass, man. But everything that your dumb ass did prior to it, you're like, oh, my God, why did you just whoop me back?
Oh, my goodness.
Nah, the wrath of kind. Bam! Oh, my God. Anyway, getting back to the show. With the notion of the question that was presented earlier about the parents taking responsibility, my question to you both is, considering how things have changed, we don't live in a society that we grew up in, and we've heard about the casualties and the danger of what's going on in today's society, do either one of you feel more unsafe? Are you are you fearful of going certain places or more cautious of going somewhere considering what the current society climate is?
Naturally, you have to be cautious and be concerned, bro. You know, you always want to not be scared, but you have to understand what's out there, what's going on, and be aware. You know, it would be, to me, foolish not to be aware and act dumb. So, yeah, you have to be cautious, but I was raised to always, no matter where I go, what I do, observe, pay attention, notice what's out of order, what's not. So it's instinctive inside of me to always pay attention to what's going on and kind of be, it is what it is, man. It's just, if you grew up basically, for me, thinking that, it's inside of you instinctively. So yeah, you have to be aware, think about it. And it's crazy, man. I mean, now it doesn't have to be a certain place. It could be anywhere. So, yeah, you must at all times be on guard. At the same time, man, you know, you walk through the valley in the shadow of death. You know, why should you be afraid? So I like to hang on to that. But at the same time, you must be cautious. You must be cautious and aware. Ms. DeMaurice.
Yeah, I know in different parts of the country, I grew up in the East Coast, it's like that you were kind of taught that from day one. To always be, you know, aware of your surroundings. If things don't look right, you know, get out of there. And it's still, I still have that mentality today, that, you know, you got to watch your P's and Q's. You gotta watch the setups and all that other stuff. And you're just very cautious. I don't think, you know, I don't think a black man walking is you know, not that way, especially living in the society. You always got to keep, you know, aware of what's really kind of going on and where you may fall in danger. So I wouldn't say that it's just starting up now. It's just like part of the environment that you come out of, you know, that, you know, it's going to be danger out there. Do I fear? No, I don't walk I don't really recognize fear. It's false evidence appearing real. But I am cautious of where I go, who I associate with. I try not to make myself an easy target or easy mark. So I'm not going to be coming out there with my phone out and flashing and dashing unless I have to go somewhere and I have my steps and my path kind of, you know, kind of waved away so I can get to where I need to go to without any problems. But, yeah, you know, kind of making yourself a target, not looking at people, not recognizing your environment. Because I've seen that happen, especially in the East Coast, where people, what we call used to call sleeping, and, you know, they're not really paying attention. Or you can tell when people are from out of town and they're looking up and you know, just not aware of where they are and who's watching them, because there's always somebody watching them. So I always try to fix my eye on people who, you know, kind of see me, and you give a kind of a nod to somebody and they give a nod back, which is a very interesting concept. Because do you realize when you know somebody, you nod your head up, and when you don't, you kind of nod your head down to say, hello, I see you, I acknowledge you. We do it naturally as men. We know somebody, we kind of give a heads up when we nod up to say, hey, I see you, brother, I know you, and all that, before we greet each other. So I always try to do that. I always try to live and love and you know, let everything take care of itself. Always stay prayerful. Always ask for protection. And also, there's sometimes where, you know, if I see somebody, that's an easy mark. I've had opportunities to, you know, pull them to the side or to start talking to them. To help them get out of situations that they may need of this power in numbers. So, it's something that's just ingrained in you. And it's the environments that we come from that kind of give you like a sixth sense or street smarts that keep you out of harm's way.
Good stuff. Your response, Mr. Jones?
No doubt. Definitely. I think you have to be aware. As you said, I think your environment, where you come from or what you've learned over the years, I don't think that today's current climate or temperature makes me feel any differently. I'm just aware. I understand where certain things may be a little bit more dangerous, if you will, according to whatever the society says. But I also try to read the room or read the environment that I'm in, knowing that something might pop. You know, I even go to the point, and this is crazy, call it paranoia. I know where the hell X is at, bro. I just do. I know where to get out. That's just my mindset. I mean, I think it's a survivalist type of attitude, but I'm just aware of different things. So I can relax, but I'm always thinking, like, okay, if this motherfucker do blah, 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 what the hell am I doing? What am I doing? You know, like, they were like, oh, my God, I didn't know it happened. And all of a sudden it overtook us, and he was over it. I didn't know what, oh, my God. No, I'll be outside. I can meet him. It's like a fire. I'm getting out, bro. I'm getting out. But no, I agree that it's the mentality, the way that you grew up, understanding people's body language too. Because you got to build a relationship. When people agitated, something's going on, and you pay attention, you can see later that brother having a breakdown or something's not wrong, right? Something's not right, and you can see the commotion starting to go. And you like, you know, to the point where, hey, we need to get out of here. So I just wanted to throw that out at you, gentlemen, because that's something that I know a lot of people are concerned about and may not have the experience that we do or experiences that we have in dealing with such measures and always keeping your head on the swivel and being aware of your surroundings.
I love what we're doing here, gentlemen. And Mr. Demarese and Mr. Charles are basically putting forth the conversation for this episode, One Black Man Talk. And, yeah, man, some good questions, some good responses. And that's what we do as conversations. Once a week we get together, we hold court. We hold court, and for me, what's better than that? Your next question, Mr. DeMaurice?
Yeah, my next question, I should title it Men of a Certain Age. What do you do? I know we're in our 50s and headed to 60s. And what do you do to kind of keep your status as a man? I mean, physically, because the reason why I'm coming up with this question is because somebody was asking my dad, who just turned 80 a few months ago, how does he keep so young and spry? And he said, I just keep moving. I keep moving. I can't just sit there and just not do anything. I got to keep moving. I got to keep active. So as a man of a certain age, how would you tell your younger self or people who are younger to kind of conduct yourself to stay that active and to stay fairly healthy?
I think you have to start at a young age, realistically, thinking about certain things and how you want your life to be at a certain point. Don't wait till you get there. And it's an old saying, don't burn the candles at both ends. So for me, I mean, I'm 60 at this point. I just turned 60 a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things I did when I was in my, you know, I look back to when I was in my 20s or whatever the case may be, and the food that I wanted to eat, the exercise and the things that I did, they paid off dividends throughout my life. So it's not like I just got here and for some reason now things just kind of basically fell into place. It's been this way for a while. Things have been going on. So I think you have to kind of, for the most part, for me, start at an early age and basically keep that going, keep that rolling. And as you progress through life, keep a mentality that you want to stay healthy. Because for me, as black people, if we do some good things, it's in our melanin, it's in our DNA, we can grow old well. But when we decide to tear our temple down and do things that are destructive towards us, you know, that's going to happen. So even now, you know, making sure some things that I eat, you know, learn about what's good for my body, what's bad for my body, and the choices you make. I mean, I was walking through an airport, actually it was in Chicago not too long ago, man, and I saw Garrett's popcorn. Love Garrett's popcorn. But in the back of my mind, I was like, do you want to take that sugar in? Do you want that sugar in your body? And I was like, no, I think I'll pass. But I wanted it. I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, it was hard to basically not get it, but I think those are the things, and we have to basically be aware, you know, make steps, make choices to live to where, you know, that your health can basically be of standard. I mean, I had a physical done a while ago. It almost seemed like when things are good, they don't want to deal with you because they can't make no money off of you. You know, but things when they don't can't write you a prescription for something, whatever the case may be, it's like, you know, all right. But no, you're doing a blood test for me. You're going to tell me what that blood test says. And if something's wrong, you'll be calling me in a heartbeat. So, no, damn it, tell me my kidneys are good. Tell me my liver is good. You going through it. I want to hear it. Because this is not just by happening by accident. So, damn it, you're going to tell me. Your response, Mr. Charles.
Yeah, I hear you about that, Gary's popcorn, but I only go to Chicago maybe once or twice a year. I don't get my damn popcorn, bro. I'll walk another 5 miles, damn it. I don't go to Chicago at all. The deeper reason, like, he hear me calling from the plane, but hell nah, bro. Ain't like I get it in the mail either. So once or twice a year, yeah, I'll work that out. I got to have that BS popcorn. Trying to think next time I'm going to Chicago. Anyway, this is crazy. But I'd say to answer the question, for me, I think it's important that to work your mind, bro. I mean, one of the things I try to do now is I read. I try to use other things, and I have to keep thinking while I'm using my mind. And honestly, I don't think if I didn't do that, there's no way I'd be able to do the things that I'm doing, and even particularly come on this show and deliver some some thoughtful, provocative thoughts from the standpoint of people understand what you're saying. Couldn't do that. The other thing I'd say also, too, is exercise is definitely important. You got to move, as dad said. You got to find something that you enjoy. I enjoy walking, and every once in a while, I keep my basketball in the trunk, man. I need to shoot me a couple threes, but my old ass out here still casting them in. So you got to find stuff that you enjoy, moving, exercising, feeling good about that. Because I think sweating, open up your pores, means a lot. How you get that done in the gym or whatever, I think that's important to you as well. And last but not least, I'd say, and I'm probably, I'd probably do too much of this, particularly at my age, but I don't give a damn. You got to laugh, man. Dee Maurice and I laugh all the time. After our show, we do the shows and we start talking about something, and we laugh forever. We just laugh about whatever it is. We might spend, hell, what, Dee Maurice, 45 minutes talking and laughing.
Yeah.
And just having a ball, man. When you're done, you go, man, damn, that was funny as hell or whatever. But I think it's important to get that humor in your spirit. And sometimes I might be considered, somebody might say, oh, you act too damn juvenile or whatever. I'll take that because with your tight-up ass going around all the time, acting all serious, having ulcers and shit like that, going to the doctor with headaches, oh, no, what's wrong? Oh, I'm so serious. Okay, you can go ahead with that. That would not be my cause of death.
I'm going to say this real quick before I kick it back to Mr. Reese. Relaxation is overrated, boss. I'll say that again. Relaxation. People think, you know, I just want to kick back. What? Bruh, that sedentary movement is not good for you. It's not. Like Mr. Charles says, you got to be out there. You got to be doing something, finding something to do. Because when you do that, you just want to just sit on the couch and do whatever. You think that's cool and basically binge watch stuff all the time. Man, your joints, your body is settling in. Especially as you age, you need to move more. You really do. You need to move more, not less. But we are so, you know, predicated in our mind to think, you know, oh, yeah, I want to kick back. I'm relaxed and do this. And most of the time, you ain't done nothing to relax in the first place. So, yeah, man, that movement is important. It really is. Your response, Mr. DeMaurice.
It's something that I always prayed about when I was coming up, I still do, is I want to grow mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so that's the combination I have. And what you two said was dead on, laughing, not standing still. And I really kind of connected with an older gentleman, and he was like, you know, if you want to remain a man, you got to keep doing man things. And so I consider man things like, physical fitness, reading, enlightening your mind, and keep learning, keep the mind fresh. Also, you know, if you join a gym, that's fine. You walk, that's fine. Whatever you can do to keep your body going. I tend to go into martial arts. I love that. It just keeps me disciplined. And, I ain't training for MMA and all that other stuff, but it just keeps me sharp. And it's more than just about fighting. It's about a discipline. It's about a lifestyle, eating right. And I don't always eat right because I have cheat days and, you know, days where I'm like, you know, I'm going to get me these wings or I'm going to get me this cheesecake. but everything in moderation and trying to be better every day and not sitting around. I know for me what happens is if I don't do anything or exercise maybe for 3-4 days, my body starts to hurt. It's like my body is screaming like, you got to do something. You got to get back. And as soon as I exercise or do anything physical, it's like the muscle memory just kicks back in and you're just naturally doing it. You might be sore going into the workout or whatever, but while you're doing it, your body is kicking in, your body's responding, all that other stuff. I want to keep that. I got to think that it's good for the body. The body's craving it. The body wants it. So, you know, it's almost like the body's addicted to that physical, exercise or activity you're doing. And so it's always a quick reminder. I remember a friend recognized that, a good friend of mine, Wayne Salter, Attorney Wayne Salter, said that. He stayed with me for a year before he moved back to Florida at one particular time. And he used to know, you know, if I was cranky, if I was kind of irritable. He was like, man, when's the last time you worked out? I said, you know what? I haven't worked out in a while. Hey, bro, you need to go work out. Because he could tell physically, you know, and the way my mindset was and how I was kind of, you know, irritable or negative that, you know, maybe you're working too much, bro. Take some time, a half hour or something, man. Get that in, man. Get that frustration out because it's like you're a little frustrated now. And he would even pick it up, you know. So as a man of a certain age, and saying that to younger men and men our age and above, stay hungry, man. Stay hungry. Do something that you like, but get out there and do that physical stuff that keeps that manhood up, keeps you doing something, keeps you disciplined, that it's just not about sitting down, watching TV, watching sports, eating the food that you want. It's about, you know, quality of life. What kind of quality of life do you want?
Yeah, that's key right there, man, quality of life. I mean, and again, we all touched on something, and I want to take it a little deeper, man, because at the end of the day, and I think we think this, but we may not say it, our body are temples that God has given to us, really, when you think about it. He gave to you. So what you do with it is basically how you're sharing back to him the appreciation of the gift that he's bestowed to you. So if you're basically out here damaging your body with, you know, with over moderation with stuff of, let's just say, alcohol, weed, whatever, to me, you're showing a depreciation to him of the gift that he gave you as your temple. And that's, to me, that's the realness of it. You know, if I'm going to be lazy about what I do, what I eat, don't care, I'm showing a disrespect to him. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, why is he just going to keep affording me this? Why not just take it away from me? Why not take it away? When I say take away, put me in a casket. Because I'm showing him no honor. I'm showing him no grace, no love for what he has basically bestowed upon me. So for me, man, yeah. I mean, I have to kind of keep that in my mind and with my movements, because he's allowed me, again, at 60, to live where I ain't taking medication for nothing. Nothing. I haven't been operated on once. That's based on what I have done, some of the things, but that's him. So realistically, when we stop to think about some of the things, how are we really basically honoring God for the temple that he gave to us? And that's how you want to basically say to him, thank you, Lord? And speak about that popcorn. I'm going to order some, bro. I mean, I was moving to the airport, but I hear you, Mr. Charles. You say you go there twice a year, because I'm going to order some, because I didn't get it then, but from time to time I will do it. But, yeah, I think we need to sometimes identify with what's real, and not be afraid to honestly say it, because at the end of the day, it comes down to that, man. If you're not basically taking care of what he gave to you, why should you have it? Why should you have it, realistically? Gentlemen, we got 3 minutes. We're going to basically do this our last 3 minutes. Mr. Charles, I'm going to come back to you. This is not going to be a form of a question, man. Just say something you want to say for the next 30, 40 seconds. Dee Marie, should do the same. I'll do the same. We get out here almost like a last-second shot. We treat it like that. Mr. Charles, your turn, boss.
Yeah, I wanted to elaborate what I was talking about earlier. Yesterday, I had a great opportunity to hang out with some of my HBC alums at a basketball classic here in Columbus, Ohio. Our university band played along with Boosie Collins at halftime of this basketball event. And then afterwards, they had a little concert, with the Isley Brothers, brother. Let me tell you something, Let me tell you something. If I never see them again, I was blessed last night. Amazing. They gave us an hour and 15 minutes of pure pleasure, and I'm still recovering. Beautiful. Videos to come.
Man, you saw some legends yesterday, bro. Bootsy Collins? Goodness, man. I remember seeing Bootsy. I think I was 16 or 17. My brother took me to go see Bootsy Collins for the first time, man. That, woo, I already mumbled the Isley Brothers. Oh, my goodness, but Bootsy. Yes, sir. Dee Maurice.
Yeah, real quick, the fight last night between Davis and Garcia, one thing just stood out to me, the fight. Ice Water predicted it perfectly last night. Don't know if you put the money down. Hopefully, man, you did. But one thing that I see out of this is, if the fight went the other way, and watching ESPN and sports shows, if the fight went the other way with Garcia winning, I think he would have got much more TV time and advertising than Gervonta Davis. And I think that's because, this is from my heart of hearts, and I feel it down deep in my soul, is that Ryan Garcia is more marketable, the good-looking guy in sports, and they wanted to use his media influence and all that other stuff. Gervonta Davis from the hood, not as marketable. So they're playing all LeBron stuff, nothing on the fight. Shame on you guys.
Yeah, marketability. Here again, money, man. I'm going to go back to what we kind of hit on earlier. I may hit on earlier. Accountability, man. We got to start to accountability to our people. We just have to. We can't live in a world and act like this. No accountability. Personal accountability is key. And we need to start doing it for our children, ourselves. Gentlemen, stay black the next time we get together. Appreciate what y'all always do. Bring it strong and make what we do here real, happening, and nice to listen to. Love you both. This is Mark Elliott, Mr. Charles, and Steve Maurice, where when black men talk.